Recording.
Well, good morning, everybody. Today is Sunday, January the 15th. I wanted to look and make sure I had the date right. And welcome. This is Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of those seeking to develop their spirit, mind, and body. I'm April May, a licensed Unity teacher, and once again, I am your cruise director today. So welcome, and let's set an intention to have a great day in our consciousness. We have a special guest with us today, Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, and also Safi as our guest musician. So we're thrilled to have them both with us. And I'm going to share a screen with you. Okay. We'll try that again. I'm going to share a screen with you. There we go. And we're going to start at the beginning because that's a wonderful place to start with our mission and our foundation statement. So please join me as we do share the mission and our foundation statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us, far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And our foundation statement, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs. Amen. And now I'd like to invite Kathleen Bailey to share with us today the absolute word.
Thank you, April. The absolute word is Paul Hasselbeck's take on the daily word. And it's about world peace. I rest my heart on the principle of peace. The news often gives more attention to points of conflict rather than points of harmony. Even so, I trust there are many souls around the world who are joining me in my prayers for peace. I believe there's a yearning for peace in the human heart because the principle of peace is inherent in everyone. My prayers support that yearning while strengthening the bonds of love that lead to greater harmony. I begin my affirmations of world peace with a soft and open heart. I am comforted in knowing the advances people have already made toward living harmoniously together. My intention is to live a more peaceful life that bridges the gaps of understanding between myself and others. I focus my intention on our shared desires, a peaceful world of cooperation and goodwill. This is my heartfelt prayer. Again, I affirm, I rest my heart on the principle of peace. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen, so very much. So it really is my great pleasure today to share with you guys Paul Hasselbeck and the wonderful relationship we've developed together. He's such an icon in our movement, a master of metaphysics. I've had the great pleasure of growing my metaphysical understanding as he continues to grow his own. Mm-hmm. And I know that we're going to be blessed. I know that in advance. And I affirm that Paul will also grow himself in sharing with us, because I know he embraces that principle as well. So please join me in welcoming Paul to our stage today.
Hello, everybody. Let's see if I can get my PowerPoint slides going here. Okay, so I'm hoping you're seeing. Well, back one. Yes, back one. There. I hope if you're not seeing a blue slide that says it's good to be back, it would be good to let me know. Anyway, hello, and it's good to be back I always enjoy being with you. And of course, I enjoy giving presentations because when I do research, I learn too. Okay, so here's my little minion friend. I want you to sit back and relax. You might want to get out your cell phone. There might be slides you might want to take pictures of. You may even want to take a slide of this contact information. My website is paulhasselbeck.com, where you can mostly find my calendar and the Absolute Word, which you heard a version today. Thank you for using it. My podcast, metaphysicalromp2.com, that I do with my friends, the Reverend Drs. Bill and Cher Holton down in Durham, North Carolina. And my email address is alberthasselbeck@gmail.com, which you can feel free to use to send me any metaphysics question you might have. Okay, so the topic today is intention is not enough. And as I said in my little blurb about this, the one saying I hear is the road to hell is paved to intention or paved with intention. And intention's an interesting thing. It's something that we can use to grow ourselves. And I also kind of hope we have intention when we're working with other people. Now, the thing is, when we're talking about intention, when we're working with others, we need to also think about the impact what we're doing or saying might be having on the other person. Sometimes the impact doesn't match my intention. And I've learned mostly in the last 4 or 5 years that this is an important thing to recognize, is that if what I'm intending isn't really what the other person is experiencing, it's important for me to reach out to them and find out what's going on. My intention is not as important as the impact they're experiencing. And it's when this disconnect happens that we can actually create some really good connections. So intention is not enough. And my intention is, you'll know why by the end of this presentation. So here's a little roadmap. We're going to look at New Year's resolutions and intentions, or resolutions versus intentions. We're going to be looking at enthusiasm and determination, and we're going to be looking at neuroplasticity. So right there, you can see that I'll be talking about metaphysics, also be talking about science. The beautiful thing about New Thought is that we do not push away science, we embrace science. And so New Year's resolutions and intentions. So resolutions are usually clearly defined, measurable, specific, subtly judging, and that would be a self-judging, right? And let me say this, if you find yourself judging yourself, that's the moment you stop, you take a deep breath, and you give yourself a big old dose of grace and kindness. And New Year's resolutions are fundamentally about outcomes or goals. And if you've studied anything around business in the last 20 years, a resolution really is a goal. When you think of the measures or how to create a goal, most of those are listed here. And so here's an example of a resolution. Consume 0 grams of raw sugar. To that I go, oh, hell no, because I like my sugar. Consume 0 grams of raw sugar. Now, let's compare that to intentions. So intentions are kind of softer. They embody qualities. They're compassionate. They motivate to live better. And they're more focused on process rather than outcomes. And an intention, you can think of an intention as a kind of practice. Here's an example. Listen to and honor the needs of my body. Listen to and honor the needs of my body. And our bodies are important. And even though we talk of having threefold nature, spirit, mind, and body, a lot of people ignore the body until something goes wrong. Well, your body is important. And in fact, your body and mind are working together all the time. And when I say mind, I mean consciousness. When I say mind, I don't mean brain, because the brain is part of our physical body. And I'm going to be sharing a lot about that today. So first, let's look at enthusiasm and determination. Enthusiasm. Well, when we're enthusiastic, we're primarily using the powers of zeal and life. Our enthusiasm is like the starter on our car. It really gets us going. And as we're going along, mostly we lose our enthusiasm. And then if it's something we want to achieve, we have to follow that up with a kind of determination. And we primarily use the powers of faith, strength, and dominion to have determination. Why faith? Well, we have to believe in whatever it is we're trying to achieve. And once that enthusiasm kind of burns out, we need strength to stick with it and dominion. By the way, you might know that power as the power of power. When I hear the words power of power, my brain goes a little wacko. It's like, what? Sounds like noise. So I like to use the word dominion instead of the power of power. So we need faith, strength, and dominion working together. Now, let me give you kind of a physical world science-y example of this in the physical world. So here we see a liftoff of the space shuttle, and I'm sure most of us have seen this over and over again. Well, when that rocket holding that space shuttle is on the launch pad, excuse me, on the launch pad, as those rocket engines are fired, it's like this enthusiasm, it's zeal and life, and you see all this smoke and fire and flame, and as it's finally gaining some attitude and getting higher and higher into the atmosphere, some of the engines fall off, and then it's pushed into orbit. And so it's a rocket launch starts with enthusiasm and continues with determination, because that's how we get the space shuttle into orbit. And all rockets are like that. And isn't that, it is kind of with our projects. I mean, I might get an enthusiasm to clean out my garage, but that begins to wane as it gets a little bit old. And then I got to use my determination with my faith, my strength, and my dominion to stick with it. Well, we could say the same thing when we're doing our New Year's resolutions, or preferably intentions. We might start out with enthusiasm for it, but sticking with it requires determination, requires faith, strength, and dominion. So if you notice you're losing a little juice around doing a project, you might check to see if you want to complete the project. And if you do, you're going to want to think about the powers of faith, strength, and dominion. And so that gets us to neuroplasticity. I had a hard time saying that word. And there's another word in this title that is even more difficult for me. So pray for me here. So the information I'm going to share with you today was written by Megan Call. She's the director of the Resiliency Center in the University of Utah Health. And I'm going to provide this article as well as my PowerPoint slides to April in case anybody wants them. So the article is entitled Neuroplasticity: How to Use Your Brain's Malleability to Improve Your Well-Being. And if you want a kind of a parallel to malleability, remember when you were a kid and you had that Play-Doh? Can you smell it? That has the most distinct odor. Well, when we were molding that Play-Doh in our hands, we could say that Play-Doh was malleable. Well, your entire brain isn't malleable like that, but the inside structures, the neural pathways are malleable. And this is a big deal because up to a couple decades ago, it was believed the brain didn't change, I think, after being like a teenager or something. But this is good news because this neuroplasticity, this malleability, is an important part of the process of us achieving our intentions, even achieving our resolutions as well, or any goal you set. So, thought alone is associated with neuroplastic gains. Thought alone is associated with neuroplastic gains. Now, our co-founders, Mary, our co-founders, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, knew about the power of thought. And we have a lot of teachings about the thought. And they didn't literally know what was going on inside their brains. They were noticing the changes that they were able to make with their thinking nature. And today we say thinking and feeling nature, because it's that feeling nature that gives it an electrical charge, an energetic signature, let's say. And another interesting thing to know about this, here we have this man playing a piano in a concert, and he's an older gentleman. What science has shown is when someone has a skill like this, that he doesn't have to play and rehearse as much because he can rehearse it in his brain. He can rehearse it in his mind, I should say. He can rehearse it in his consciousness. And functional MRI scans have shown for a person like him, the regions of the brain light up the same, whether they're imagining it or actually doing it. And while we're talking about imagining, well, imaginations is one of our 12 powers, isn't it? And it's an important piece of neuroplasticity. So neuroplasticity, well, first of all, I found this wonderful picture on the author's handout. And I love that because it's wrapped in rubber bands. And when I think of rubber bands, they're changeable, they're malleable. So what is neuroplasticity? It's the capacity for our brain cells to change in response to our behavior, but also to our thinking. And so what we gotta know is our brain cells are always in this disposition to change. And what is it that causes, we could say, the brain cells to change? Well, this is something I wish I knew when I was a kid learning how to play the electronic organ. Because when I would make a mistake, I would beat myself up, you know, speak disparaging words to myself, thinking those words would encourage me to do better. But the truth is, folks, that doesn't really work. What we want to do when we make a mistake is speak words of kindness and grace. And that somehow opens up the space to doing better. Now, here's the really interesting thing. If we're going along and everything is copacetic, everything is normal, everything is average, the brain just goes along doing what it's doing. But here's the cool thing. If we make a mistake or we stumble with our fingers on the organ, or someone practicing basketball, practicing some sort of physical activity, there's a mechanism where there is a place marked in our physical brain that correlates to that mistake. And then neuroplasticity overnight starts to rearrange those neural pathways to support the outcome we're looking for. Isn't that the coolest thing? I mean, when I learned about that, it was like, boom, my mind was blown. And I have this little image that when I make a mistake, there's little minions in my brain that's kind of marking it with an X. So in the middle of the night, they can come with their scissors and cut it out and put a new piece in there. And then by morning, I have progress towards doing whatever that thing, so I can be better at it eventually. So we have this capacity to stimulate our brains, to change the neural pathways in response to what we want, towards our intentions and in towards our goals, to whatever it is we're wanting. So we know the brain is a highly active and malleable learning machine across a person's lifespan. It doesn't ever stop. And as we get older, we want to do more to stimulate this malleability, this neuroplastic change in our brains. So don't give up. I'm not. And then science has shown us that neuroplastic change occurs at the chemical, structural, and functional levels of brain. And they come in that order. So the first thing that happens is this chemical change. And it happens in the initial stages of our learning process, in the initial process of moving towards our intention. And it supports short-term learning because the chemicals might change in the short term, but then tend to revert or go back to the status quo. And so chemical change supports short-term improvement in our motor skills. I'm learning that right now. In December, I had surgery on this hand, and it's only a couple of weeks that it's been set free. And I've had to learn how to type with my right hand again. And it's coming, but it's not like a one and done thing. And I have more to say about that. So structural change, and this happens in response to the chemical change. So structural change is when neurons change their connections, altering the brain structure. Now this takes more time and effort. It involves long-term memory and the long-term improvement of a motor skill. So for example, if I stopped practicing my typing, this hand would revert to whatever had happened in the neural pathways when I wasn't using it. So you see, it can work in both directions. And then finally, we have functional change, when the entire brain network changes, when networks are used over and over and over again. You've probably heard people refer to this as creating kind of a neural groove in their physical brain. But the thing is, when we do this over and over and over again, they become more excitable and more efficient. And this kind of happens if you're memorizing music. At first you don't know the piece, and then you learn a more, and then you learn a little more, and eventually you almost don't have to think about it because physical motor memory comes into play. So let's give a little brain stuff. So we basically have two types of matter, and they do matter. We have gray matter and white matter, where gray matter is neurotissue that's involved in muscle control, sensory perception, memory, emotions, speech, decision-making, and self-control. So you can see how important this gray matter is. The white matter, on the other hand, creates the connections between gray regions. And the more we activate those pathways, the stronger those pathways become. So I already told you the importance of thought impacting neural pathways. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk to you about practicing mindfulness. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about a mindfulness meditation practice. I'm talking about mindfulness in our everyday life. What is mindfulness? It's maintaining a I got my picture in the way here, excuse me. It's maintaining a non-judgmental state of moment-to-moment awareness. Mindfulness, maintaining a non-judgmental state of moment-to-moment awareness. So this mindfulness is moment-to-moment awareness, and we're simply noting what is. We're not placing a value judgment on what is. And what that does, that practice puts us in the present moment. So it improves attention. And attention will improve our intention. It improves our memory. And what's really important, it improves our emotional regulation. Really important things. And guess what? It increases gray matter. And if we increase gray matter, we are going to be increasing this stuff, our muscle control, our sensory perception, memory, emotion, speech, decision-making, and self-control. So neuroplasticity requires five things: challenge and novelty, intention, specific attention, repetition intensity, and time. So when I said intention isn't enough, this is why. We need challenge and novelty. We need specific attention. We need repetition and intensity. And folks, it takes time. So let's look at these. Challenge and novelty. You want to choose something that's new and not too easy. So if someone's saying this is hard, that's the good news, because that's what's going to stimulate the neuroplasticity. And so here are some examples: taking on a new language, taking on learning the guitar, taking on mountain climbing. Oh, I may not want to do that one, but there is something that you have in you that you want to do. Make sure it's new and not too easy. And then the intention is how we give that thing meaning. So whatever we intend to do, it has to have relevance and importance. Think about why you want this new skill, because that's key. Neuroplastic change is associated with the feeling of being rewarded in the new task. And how are we rewarded in the new task? Here you go. Dose, D-O-S-E. It releases dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and epinephrine. Now, I'm maybe giving you way too much detail. However, I hope this is reinforcing this process. And so we want to do things that are associated with reward. And then specific attention, skills we practice tend to improve. Well, kind of duh. Focus on exact tasks. Have a plan. Schedule a time to be doing it every day or a few times a week. This will make your intention come into reality. And then repetition and intensity. Think about the person practicing a new piece of music, or a person practicing throwing the basketball through the net. One and done is not enough. One affirmation and one denial is not enough. It's a start. Shorter bouts of intense repetition creates new connections. So it's short periods of practice, and then moving away from it, and then coming back, and then moving away from it, and then coming back. That's what creates new connections. And weekly, check in with yourself and adjust as needed. You know, shake or stir, start over. And of course, I said it requires time. We want to have patience. And lapses, friends, are part of the process. Again, this is where we sprinkle on a large dose of kindness and grace. Remember, you're working towards this intention. It's going to take time. So neuroplasticity requires change and novelty, intention, specific attention, repetition and intensity, and folks, time, not one and done. So we looked at what New Year's resolutions are and intentions are. A lot of people, when you read about it, interchange those words, but resolutions are goal-oriented, intentions are more like activity oriented. Enthusiasm and determination. Remember, we start out with zeal and life, and then we have to transition into faith, strength, and dominion to keep moving. And of course, I've shared a lot about neuroplasticity. Remember, your thinking changes your brains. Remember the importance of mindfulness. And remember to simply get started. Because you know what? Intention is not enough. And so it is. Thank you. As I take a deep breath, if you haven't been moving around, I'm going to invite you to move around, maybe take a sip of water, stretch. This is to recenter ourselves mindfully, right where we are as we enter into a time of meditation. So friends, I always like to close my eyes. And those deep, slow breaths are important. Those deep, slow breaths stimulate a sense of calm and a sense of connection. And in this sense, I really don't like the word connection so much because it means we can be disconnected. But even so, that sense of calm and connection is what I use to remember my divinity. For you to remember your divinity. And at the same time, remember your humanity. After all, we are 100% human and 100% divine. And when we think of our divinity, those powers that I mentioned, like zeal and life and faith and strength and dominion are just five of the qualities of the faculties of these principles we find in our divinity. And it's you and I that use them. It's you and I that activate them right here and right now. We rest in the knowing that enthusiasm gets us started and determination delivers us to the goal. In our divinity, we are identical and infinite in potential. In our humanity, we are wondrously and gloriously distinct and finite. So I always think of the infinity symbol, where our divinity becomes our humanity, and our humanity, in a sense, fades back into our divinity. We're moving from the infinite to the finite, and then the finite to the infinite. You truly are right there. Infinite potential. And if we don't tap that infinite potential to manifest something specific, then we haven't done anything for our humanity. You are 100% divine. You are 100% human. I don't ever express the full potential of our humanity or of my humanity, nor do I ever express the full potential of my divinity. And yet, both are true, both are right here, both are right now. So repeat after me. I am 100% divine. I am 100% human. I am 100% divine. I am 100% human. And so you are. And so I am. And so it is. Amen. And then you can open your eyes. You can start moving as we move on in the service. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to stop our record now.